You'd like a copy of God's Word. It's an extract from the Bible. And of course, without the Bible, friends, it's impossible for a person to come to a knowledge of God's salvation, His free salvation. The record, the testimony given to us of God is here in His Word, otherwise known as the Bible. These are extracts from the Bible. If you'd like to have one, it's offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Of course, the Bible's referred to as, in the Bible itself, as the hammer that breaks the rock. It has the ability to, to break down the hardness of men and women's hearts, to produce that softness, malleableness, brokenness even, that's well required in order for a person, to cry out to the Lord, to begin to see their great need of God's salvation. For we all need it. Every single man, woman and child born into this world is in need of God's salvation. Of course, don't know that, don't understand it, don't feel it, don't think it. Till that is, of course, God by His Word and Spirit begin to break down, the hammer that breaks the rock, break down the hardness of our hearts. Because here's the thing, friends, that as we travel through this world, from our infancy onwards, we learn the way, the patterns of sin that become entrenched, in our souls and in our hearts and minds, and we become hardened and cynical and more unbelieving. And of course, until God comes, with His Word and Spirit and breaks the hardness of our hearts, removes the heart of stone, as the Bible puts it, and gives us a heart of flesh. That's what Jesus means, when He says a person, a man must be born again. The hardened heart has to be broken, has to be changed, altered, supernaturally, miraculously changed by the power of Almighty God. So you'd like to have a copy. God's Word that's offered to you at no cost and no obligation to you. You come and ask for one. But of course, when the Bible speaks about salvation, what does it mean? That's a good question. What is it? What is it? What do I need saving from? And what do I need saving for? And what does salvation mean? Well, salvation of God comes as a result of the wisdom of God. It's a revelation of God's great wisdom, in planning this so great salvation that is offered to you here this afternoon. Bible also speaks about having the ability to make a man or woman wise unto salvation. Not so much cleverness. There's a lot of cleverness around. I guess some of you that, subscribe to this lie called evolution, you can stand all day and argue all day, about philosophical matters, about this evolutionary nonsense, but clever, oh so clever. We got a lot of clever people in our country today, but not so many wise. A lot of knowledge, a lot of cleverness. Oxford, Cambridge, Keele University, matters not, Cleverness, but no wisdom. Friends, it's wisdom we need. The wisdom to see and understand the way that we take is not good. The way of unbelief, the way of sin. It's a hard way, difficult way. And the end of it, of course, Bible says is eternal damnation. The salvation that God, you see, offers to you here today is a salvation that reveals the revelation of the goodness of God. God no need save anybody. God no need save you, me. God no need to offer, no need to plan this salvation. God has no need outside of Himself. He doesn't need you, He doesn't need me. But in His goodness and kindness, instead of just trashing us all, instead of just sweeping us all into lost eternity, into hell, you know, as we would be quite justified in doing so, because of His goodness, because God is good, you see. God is love, God is good, God is merciful. He's also, of course, the God of wrath, a God of holy displeasure as a result of sin. It says in the Bible that God is angry with the wicked every day. Unbelief is wickedness, friends. But you see, God, not giving us what we truly deserve, offers us His goodness, salvation. It's a result, you see. It's on the basis of the goodness, the kindness, undeserved favor of God. It's what the word grace means. Undeserved favor. Favor you don't deserve. What we deserve is the very opposite. But God, in His kindness, you see, He offers you goodness instead. Then, of course, the revelation of God, His power in salvation to save wretches like you and me, sir. Save you from your sins, save you from your darkness, the dirtiness, the darkness, and the danger of your sin. You know, to retrieve you from sin's dark path and enable you to, by God's grace, to lay hold upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can save you, you know, from the darkness of your sin. Jesus, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other Savior, you see. But the salvation of God is the revelation, you see, of the power of God. There's nothing outside of the gospel, you see, that can save you, can retrieve you, bring you back to God. Bible, it's called, you know, the power of God unto salvation for everybody. No, not everybody head for head, for those that believe. For everybody that's religious, no. Everybody that's morally upright, respectable, no. For those that believe, and only for those that believe. It's only unbelief that keeps you from the kingdom of God. It's only unbelief, you see, that keeps you from, you know, being released from the condemnation of God. Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Doesn't have to. Already condemned every single man, woman, and child born into this world under the condemnation of God. But this is a condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the name of His only begotten Son. You see, it's unbelief, friends. Unbelief that keeps you from that power that would save you. The power to release you, you know, from the sinful habits. You struggle against them, but, you know, you run to the chemist, you know, buy patches to stick on yourself, thinking, you know, that'll do the trick. Bit of psychobabble. Friends, you can't release yourself from one single sin, but by the power of King Jesus, the Savior who bled and died on the cross and rose again from the dead, in order to give you the power of a new life, in order to justify you, make you right with God, and to save and deliver you from the law of sin and death. The power, you see, divine power, the power of God is revealed in this great salvation. What it means, the wisdom, the goodness, and the power of God is displayed in the gospel. The good news that is concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world for this reason, this purpose, not to make you religious. That ain't no good. That don't cut it. That don't make a man or woman right with God. Now Christ Jesus came into the world to save, to rescue sinners, to rescue you from your greatest and known danger, that of your own sinful heart and mind. A rescue operation. I came to rescue. I came to save men and women, Jesus says, not to condemn them. Doesn't have to condemn you. I don't have to condemn you. All already condemned because of unbelief. Refusal to believe on the name of God's only begotten Son. To bring hope, you see, eternal hope. Hope not just for this world, but the world to come. But here you are in your sin and your unbelief, without hope in this world, and without hope for the world to come. But hope, you see, hope that doesn't disappoint. Hope, you see, that will never fail you because it comes from the everlasting God. His salvation offers to you an everlasting and eternal hope and an everlasting happiness. You know, some people, they see that, you know, well, they just want to be happy. Well, why don't you be happy? What keeps you back, you know? Happiness, they say, is the chief end of life. Is it? I just want to be happy, you say. Well, why don't you go and be happy? Why is it so many miserable faces here in Hanley this afternoon? Why can't you achieve it? Why can't you obtain it? Why does it escape you? Why do you go about all the day long miserable? Why is it that so many of your days are spent in utter misery and unhappiness? I'll tell you why. Because of the sin factor. You got that saying, haven't you? What is it you say? He's as miserable as sin, because it's sin that makes you miserable. But a joy, says Jesus, I give to you that no one can take away from you. Not even in the face of death can this joy that Jesus would give to you, an everlasting happiness, eternal happiness, through faith in the Son of God, through this salvation that is offered to you this afternoon in the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He died, you see, to deal with the cause of your misery. You deal with the cause, you get rid of the effects. The effect, you see, is misery, and the cause is sin. All the time, you see, you just want to deal with the effects. Take away the effects, you see. Take away the sickness caused by my drunkenness and drug abuse, you know. Take away the effects, you know, of my poverty, you know, because I waste my money. I waste all the substance that God provides me with. Take away the misery, you see. I just want to be happy. But you don't think about dealing with the cause. You want to make somebody really happy, then you got to deal with the cause and the underlying cause, friends, of the misery that you spend the most of your days in is that of sin. Your sinful nature, not just your practice, because God says, you see, that you're conceived, you're born in sin. Not just what you do and say and think, that's bad enough. It's your very nature. Nature must needs be changed. You got to be regenerated. You got to be born again, says Jesus. Nature has to be changed. You want to make the tree good? You want to make the fruit good? You got to make the tree good. You want to make the man good? You got to make the nature good. But how can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you possibly do good? Unless your nature's changed. But it's not in your power to do that. It's not in man's power. Not in any other man is the power for that to happen to you. Only God, only in the gospel of God's salvation. Eternal, everlasting happiness. Born again by the Spirit of God. New life. And friends, a new start, a clean heart. God taking the stone heart out of you and giving you a heart of flesh. This is God's salvation. Behold, says God, now is the day of salvation. A day of grace, a day in which men and women, it's not going to last forever. Days coming when God's going to bring it to an end. He's going to send His Son back into the world, bring the shutters down. Marketplace of grace will be over. No more finding, no more seeking, no more asking, no more pleading for mercy, too late then. But now, says God, behold, now is the day of God's salvation, a day when men and women are and can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, saved from their wretchedness, saved from the misery of their sin, saved from the entrapment, saved salvation, friends. That's what the Bible's about, not religion. It's about salvation, how a body can be saved from their greatest enemy, their own hearts, their own sinful hearts, their own unbelief. It's your unbelief that keeps you from the salvation of God, nothing else. Friends, the salvation of God, saved from the misery and from the danger of sin, because it's a dangerous business, don't you know? You ought to learn that by now. Bible says that sin has its own recompense, you know. Its own payback. You see, when you go on sinning, and when you subscribe, you know, to this foolish philosophy that there is no God because of your corrupt, sinful hearts, you know, God gives you over to more sin and more sin. And the more you sin, well, the more you get sin. And the more you get the effects of sin, you get the misery that goes with it.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
All right.
All right.
How are you, man?
I'm okay. I'm okay. Man. You have a nice day, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like one of my books? Have a read?
Have a
read. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Have a good day, sir, eh?
Bye.
Lord bless you. So you see, friends, sin has its own recompense, you know? But you ought to learn that by now. You know, it takes the life out of you. It takes the health out of you. How many are you bleeding the National Health Service to death, you know, because of the lifestyle that you're living, you know? The effects of your drunkenness, the effects of your drug abuse, the effects of your gluttony. You see, all these things, you know, sinful habits, you know, they have their own recompense. You know, they destroy your health, and for some of you, already broken in mind, some of you broken in body. That's just in this world, that's just in this life. There's the world to come. There's a day when death will take you, your sin will take you where you don't want it to go. Your sin will take you out of this world. Death will take you into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God. And if your sin hasn't been treated by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're gone and you're gone forever. Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed, being revealed, that is, against the ungodliness and wickedness of men who in wickedness hold the truth, hold down, suppress the truth in wickedness. Unbelief, you see, refusal to acknowledge what you know to be true, that is, that God is. And friends, the result of that is the wrath of God is being revealed all around you, all over you, like a rash. Your own hearts and lives. Wrath of God's already upon you, abides upon you. He who does not have the Son has not life, and the wrath of God abides upon him constantly, like a cloud following you around day by day. And any given divine moment will fall upon you and rush you out of this world. But that's now, friend. That's now. There's a day coming when you'll stand before Almighty God and the full cup of the wine of His wrath will be poured out upon you. The full, final, consummate wrath of God poured out upon you because of your sin. Sin's a dangerous business, friends. Sin, it destroys people's lives. It destroys their minds. It destroys their health. It destroys their bodies. It destroys their souls everlastingly if they're not saved from it. So you see, friends, the law of sin and death, that's what you need to be saved from. That's the salvation of God. And it's the salvation, don't you know, that's perfect in its nature. Bible says that He, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost all those who come unto God through Him. Saved utterly, saved perfectly, finally. Every aspect, you see, of your sinful being changed and transformed by the power of God. Oh, I tell you, there's no power like it. God's salvation able to do for you what nobody and nothing else can do for you. A complete, a perfect salvation offered to you, the work already done. Nothing you can do. Jesus has done it all. He's accomplished His work, not yours. God assures you in His Word also that no one will ever be justified before Him, made right before God by the works of their own hands. Only the work of Jesus, only the perfect work of Jesus. He lived that perfect life, sinless life. He died on a cross, shed His blood, and rose again from the dead that this salvation might be yours. A final cure for the sin problem, the eternal problem. And present, friends, it is application, present now. Behold, now is the day of salvation, says God. Now, today you can be saved. What hinders you from God's salvation? One thing and one thing alone. That's your unbelief, that's your refusal to believe on the name of God's Son. But that salvation, friends, is still being freely offered. And it's freely offered to you this afternoon. I tell you, the worst of you and the best of you. Some of you think yourselves to be better than others, but I tell you, you're not. Some of you, I talk to you, and I ask you, you're going to heaven when you die? And you tell me, yes. Yes, I think so. I hope so anyway. And I say, well, on what basis should God allow you into heaven? And you say, well, because I'm a good person. Really? How many lies have you told? No liar shall ever enter my heaven, says God. You've lusted after the opposite sex. You're already an adulterer in your heart, says Jesus. Nothing unclean will ever enter my heaven, says God. You ever stolen anything? Big or small, it don't matter. Friends, no thief shall ever enter God's heaven. So there goes your perceived goodness. It's gone, friends. There is no goodness. There's none good, says God. No, not one. None righteous before God. So you see, friends, all of you, the most respectable of you, you who think you're a cut above the rest, you know, you who would look down your nose at the druggie, those of you who would look down your nose at the drunkard, those of you that look down your nose and despise those whom you decree to be worse than you, let me tell you, the most respectable of you, the most decent of you, are nothing but wicked, vile sinners in the eyes of God. That's each and every one of us. And all of us in need of this salvation. But a salvation that's offered, presently offered to you. Yours for the taking, the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. Presently, now, you can be saved if you will but turn, repent, and believe the gospel. And here's the thing, friends, it's universal. This salvation is universal in its extent. You see, sin's a universal problem. You might think to yourself, well, I'll take myself out of this wicked country. I'll go to America. I'll go to Australia. I'll go up north, down south, wherever. Friends, wherever you go in this world, you find men and women. You find nothing but sinners just like yourself. My way you go is universal. Matters not where you come from, the east, the west, the north, the south. It matters not what your color, your creed, your religion. Friends, all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single man, Jack, and woman, Jane of you, all sinners before God. But here's the thing, friends, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, that Christ died for sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. I tell you, friends, it's a universal answer. universal sin problem. That is not what you are. You need Jesus. You see, I was brought up with Islam. You still need Jesus. Your religion's no good. No, not a single one of your world religions. Not a heap worth of salvation in any one of them. No salvation outside of the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ, not an ounce. There is no God. There is no God. No God but Jesus Christ. He is the only true and living God. The one who made you, who created you in His own image, and the one who would become your Savior today. Were you but to believe on His name, you would be saved. What a salvation. Extend universal, friends. Salvation. And free in its communication, freely communicated to you by God Himself, offered to you by God freely. Money can't buy it. You can't pay for it. Matters not how rich you are. I tell you, riches, friends, all the riches in the world won't help you in judgment day. Not one ounce, friends. Silver and gold have I none but what I offer to you. I offer God's salvation to you. Better than all the money in the world. Celebrity status and everything else. All the things that you covet after in this world. Friends, when you die and you go out of this world, have you ever noticed you never see a Pickford's van following a hearse? Because you take nothing with you. Absolutely nothing. All that stuff that you hanker after, all that stuff that you covet day by day, oh, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had a bigger bank balance, if I just had a better job, friends, what if God was to require your soul of you tonight? Nothing of that would matter, not a whit, friends. And who knows, but who knows, friends? Maybe somebody here, under the sound of my voice this afternoon, and this is your last day on planet Earth. That's happened before. What if you breathe your last tonight and death takes you out of this world? Nah, you won't be laughing and mocking then. You won't be sneering then in unbelief. Oh, death changes everything, eh? It brings every single body down to the same level, eh? And friends, you stand in the presence of the Almighty God, the Judge of all the earth, who will dispatch your soul according to what you've done or what you have not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, I call upon you today, friends, repent and believe the gospel, freely communicated, freely offered to you. The price has been paid. You can't pay it. You can't pay it. Jesus, He's paid it all. But if He doesn't pick up the tab, if He doesn't pay your bill, if He doesn't settle your account, I tell you, friends, in that day, you will not escape, says God. You will not escape until you've paid the last farthing. In other words, you'll spend eternity in the damnation of hell. Friends, Jesus paid it all. He paid the price. His death, His resurrection, friends. The only way of escape, the only way out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the free salvation of God. The only thing that's free in this world today, in this marketplace in Hanley today. And friends, God's salvation, it's an eternal salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation, eternal in its endurance. It just never comes to an end. Friends, saved eternally, completely. And friends, oh, believe me, there is a world to come. There is an eternity. Death is not the end. I heard of the death of a man I knew some time back, and he was just about on his last legs. He lived a godless life. He was the epitome of a godless man. He had no time for God, the things of God, you know. He despised them. He even asked for a humanist to conduct his funeral service, you know. Nothing of God in it, you know. No God, he said, you know. But here's the thing, just a few days before he died, you know what he did? He turned round to his wife in his feeble condition and he said to her, "Honey," he said, "I don't know where I'm going." "I don't know where I'm going," he said. But you get it, friends? He knew he was going somewhere. He knew he was going somewhere, and so are you. So are you. Your sin's going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. Oh, I hear some of you foolish young people, you say, "Oh, hell, that's good. I'll be with my friends. I'll party and revel, you know, through eternity, friends." You need to get a Bible in your hand, and you need to learn what hell is really like. You will be tormented, and you will be more lonely and despised than ever you were in all your existence, in all the time that you were in this world, and that you could ever imagine yourself to be. Friends, there's a hell to be shunned, and there's a heaven to be gained. Get it today. Get God's salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel while you can. The day now is the day of salvation, says God. Generally offered, presented to the world of men, to a ruined world of sinners. Friends, all over the world, all over your society, there's not a man who does not sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's the thing, friends, I got to tell you, it's an offer that's made to you today, freely offered to you, sincerely offered to you. God unfeignedly, in the preaching of the gospel, offers salvation to you, but the offer terminates at death. Because when you breathe your last, that offer is gone. It disappears. No, man, I'll not shut up. As long as I get a breath in my body, I'll tell you when I'll shut up. I'll shut up when there's not a sinner left in Hanley, when there's no fornicators left, no blasphemers left, no thieves left, no drunkards left. When there's none of them left, then I'll shut up. But not until. God's salvation, friends, souls, perishing souls of men and women. Take yourself down to the Milton Cemetery and watch them being ushered in. They can't get them in quick enough, one after another. Every 10 minutes, another soul, another body taken through the gates of that cemetery. Men and women in their millions perishing day after day, going to a lost eternity. Is that going to be you? Is that going to be you, friend? Will you believe? Will you receive the offer of God's salvation? Now is the day before the offer terminates. There's no such a place as purgatory. There's no in-betweens. It's heaven or it's hell. It's one of the two, friends. There's no second chances. The tree lies where it falls. You fall out of this world in your sin. That's how you remain for all eternity. You have but now, in this life, while you breathe, God's air, walk on His planet, eat His food. Friends, you have that time and that time only in which to get right with God. That is to repent of your sin and believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. So friends, I submit to you that this salvation of which God speaks in the Bible and in the Bible alone, it demands your fullest consideration. You know, before the dementia takes over, before you start to lose your mind, you know, while you've still got the ability to think about these things, to think, to consider, to meditate upon these things while you can, so that you can get into a right mind. Because one of the things that you need to be saved from, apart from your sin and its consequences, is your fallen mind, is your wrong thinking. You see, friends, that's what the word repentance means. It means a change of mind. It means sorting out the mind. why people embrace this lie called evolution is because they're wrong-minded. Because their minds are sinful, their minds are fallen, their minds are broken. And one of the first things that God does in His salvation is to put people's minds back in order. Right thinking, friends. There is not one ounce of justification for evolution. God is, and you know that He is, just the same as I do. He's made it plain to you, He says, shown it to you, you even clearly understand it. But you hold the truth. You hold down the truth. You suppress the truth in unrighteousness, says God. You don't want there to be a God. And you cannot find God for the same reason that a thief can't find a policeman. He just doesn't want to. Because you know that God is corrupt. Because you know that you are corrupt, sorry. And because you know that God is not pleased with you. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why? The Bible goes on to say, because they are corrupt. Because you have a corrupt and stubborn nature. That is contrary to God, contrary to His character, contrary to His holy law, contrary to God in every which way. That's what it means to be ungodly, to be contrary to God. So I call upon you to give this salvation for which God offers you today the fullest consideration. It demands faith, it demands belief, faith and faith only. If thou canst believe, all things are possible, even your salvation to the one who believes. Faith, friends, not religion. Faith, friends, not respectability. Faith, friends, not your goodness, not your measure, not your standard of goodness. Here's a thing, friends, for you to think about. If evolution's true, tell me, why do you have a standard? Why do you have a moral standard? If evolution's true, then, you know, rape and pillage and murder, all that's good to go, isn't it? Isn't that just Darwinianism in operation? Isn't that just the survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say that you believe, but you don't really believe? Why? Because you believe in a standard of right and wrong. You believe that it's wrong for a man to rape a woman. You believe it's wrong for a man to murder another. You got a moral standard. Why? Where'd you get it from? You didn't get it from evolution. Tell you where you got it from. You got it from God, who made you in His own image. God, who gave you a conscience. Do you know what the word conscience means? It means with knowledge. With knowledge of right and wrong. That's why you've got a standard of morality. But this gives you no standard of morality. None at all. So you see, faith, friends, faith not works, faith not religion, faith in the cross work of Jesus, His death and resurrection, in the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for sinners. Believe and be saved, God says in His word. It demands of you the fullest diligence. God, He says, assures you in His word that He's a rewarder of those who seek after Him diligently, that is, with due diligence, you know. Diligently, it means, you know, you put your heart into it, you put your soul into it, you put everything in it, you chase after it the same way you chase after your lusts, you know? The way you chase after your sinful pleasures. Some of you think nothing of crossing the Atlantic Ocean to commit adultery. You wouldn't think about the cost. You wouldn't think about the time spent. Well, with the same diligence as God, you need to seek after Him, the Savior. Get yourself before an open Bible. Get yourself on your knees and cry out to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the place to begin. Go home and shut yourself away. Lock the door, nail it shut if you have to, and get on your knees and cry out to God. salvation until you know that you have eternal life in your soul, until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that your home is heaven. Oh, friends, today, cry out to God, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto God and he will abundantly pardon. Salvation, friends, that's what it means. Salvation freely offered to you today. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, first recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament are these: repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. So I call upon you, I command you in the words and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Hanley. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You like a copy of God's word? Read about this great salvation that God